everybody. This is Joe.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Gage.
We got a fun one for you tonight. It has to do with phases of the moon and other stuff like that. So, Gage, I'm going to let you go right into it.
Yeah, well, just like with what you were talking about, we're going to basically talk about, well, we're in September now. So we've got basically, you know, fall coming along. And shortly thereafter, we've got winter coming.
Well, we came up with a little question we want to ask everybody. It's just something that we came up with on the fly.
Yeah. And it's the moon has many phases. What is the phase that you identify with?
And there's 12 different phases that you can choose from. But keep in mind, it's not a choice. It's the one you identify with. So it'll click when you see it. And it's one of those things, you know, it has to do with Wiccan, pagan, and all that other stuff. But that's part of the lore about our episode tonight. So Gage, I'll let you go right into it.
Yeah. So kind of like with what we were going back to talk about, basically there's lots of reports of increased paranormal activity around, especially this time of year, around the end of September and all the way through December. I actually got a question already. Do you guys believe that this is true?
About the whole paranormal thing?
About the whole increased paranormal activity at the end of September all the way through December.
I was talking to my mom, and you know, we got on the subject this morning about the full moon, harvest moon that was Friday night, last night. And she said to me jokingly, yeah, she had heard for years that the full moon is when the proverbial crazies come out.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of believe the ideology to some degree. Full moons bring out a lot of weird stuff. And I think it has to do with just the mysterious way and lore that the moon cycles have.
Mm-hmm.
Corey, what's your thought on that?
My thought is, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff happen during full moon. I've seen different things.
Gage?
I can't explain.
I feel the same way. I feel that there's definitely a change, and I do believe that there's increased paranormal activity around this time of year.
Funny thing about our harvest moon last night, and I got an interesting story if you guys would like to hear it.
Sure, go ahead.
Harvest moon was last night. I had gotten home from taking care of some things out in Columbus Grove. I managed to get some things done around the house. I went to bed around 10:30, 11 o'clock. Fell asleep. Woke up at midnight, and it had rained pretty much the whole night that night, mm-hmm. Last night. It had rained out here where I live for a while anyway. Woke up around midnight. I think it was 12:02, 12:03. It was after midnight. And I, for some reason, something told me to go downstairs. I went downstairs, went outside in my backyard. Around the time that I went into my backyard, the clouds cleared just enough where I could see the harvest moon. And I went into a trance. I stopped thinking for myself. I saw celestial stuff, like looking into a possibility of the stars themselves, like seeing the universe pass me on by. I must have been out there 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I went back inside my house, went upstairs to my upstairs bedroom. I have a nightlight I keep on just so that I can maneuver in the night. I laid down, my nightlight started to flicker. I got up to see what was wrong with it. It went out, went back on, and when I turned around to make sure that it was hitting the wall just right, because it pans across the wall, there was a shadow figure standing in front of the light on the nightlight. In a very whispery voice, to the point where you could hardly hear them, they said to me, The secrets to the future lie buried in the past. Still don't know what that means.
That's very interesting, Joe, that you said that, and we actually kind of had a little conversation about this earlier with you, Corey, as well. Do you think that we have to revisit a place?
I had a thought about that. We went to a cemetery in midday. Our main man here, Gage, wasn't given the opportunity to
go there. I was working my 8 to 5.
And me and Corey had taken half a day off. We had this planned. We went to a cemetery out in the middle of nowhere. We were supposed to go somewhere else. That didn't happen. There was no gravestones where we were supposed to be going. So me and him drove around for a half hour, 40 minutes. We eventually found this small cemetery off the beaten path. And we went in and we started talking through Spirit Box. They wouldn't let us leave. And, well, they didn't want us to leave anyway. And I think we have to go back.
We got a lot of really good stuff out of there. We got the K2 meter going off on command.
I got touched. My arm went numb, which has never happened before. I've been lucky enough to see a lot of amazing things.
I was not there, of course, but seeing the video that you guys have shot, you know, you guys, what did we see in that video? What did we see in that video again? This was a couple weeks ago that I saw it, but I'm
not aware of we caught anything. Did we
got the K2 meter when I asked it a question to light it up. Orange or red?
Did you see a phenomenon in the video?
I thought that you had it written on the.
That was just the timestamp of all the stuff we got in the spirit box. For some reason, like I said, in the segueing back to the story, the towards the end of this occurrence, after this voice said to me what it said. It disappeared. My nightlight went back on, but later on in the night, my Xbox turned on by itself, my TV turned on and off, my nightlight went off and on, off and on, off and on, 3 times. My window shut itself, which has never done that before, because it has a guide wire that's spring-loaded.
And this is a new place from
where I recently moved, yeah. And the funny thing about all of this is that my folks were downstairs, dead asleep, because I'm living with them currently. Me and the folks bought a house together. Because my folks are retired, I needed to help them out. But they were downstairs sleeping, and I didn't have my TV on. And I know for a fact that after midnight, nobody's going to be talking. So it had to have come from the shadow figure. I've never had one talk to me before. I've seen them, never had one talk. And the thing that he said makes absolutely no sense, other than what we need to do is go back to a place we once visited. We might see some things, catch some things we didn't catch before. Or it could be that in order to understand what this shadow figure was telling me, in order for me to understand it, I have to look at a different avenue. Maybe it's a warning.
I'm looking as you have to go to the past to see the future, you said?
The secrets to the future lie buried in the past is what he said.
So
what they said, I can't
tell. Where did we all originally do our first investigation together?
Mansfield.
Maybe there's something that we were missing.
It's Collingwood. Me, Gage, you and Lowry were at Collingwood all together the first time.
Yeah. You guys were down in the basement together, and
when we were down in the basement?
We were inside the music / ballroom.
Did you guys make your way up to where the nun was staying?
We made it all the way up to the top of the top pillar, all the way. We made it all the way through.
If we go back, which I'm hoping we do, maybe the whole entire group has to go back into where the nun stayed. because I had a very ominous feeling when I was up there.
And within shortly thereafter of those quarters, I think is where Mike and I were.
In that music room that you guys were in, we actually caught an anomaly on camera.
Yes, we did. That light. Yeah, we did.
Now let me ask you: when you were up there, did you see anything? Did you see anything silhouetted in the light?
I don't believe I did.
We caught something. I caught something peripherally that I thought I took back then as just an anomaly, something that was weird. Looking back on it now, and I've had some time to think about it, there was something up there with us. I didn't see it for what it was, but I see it now.
I could feel static electricity in the air.
Whatever it was didn't want us up there. I got sick to my stomach. Started dry heaving on the way down. Corey wasn't there. He was too much in a bum rush to get down. Because we were both hightailing it down. We had a bad feeling while being up there. And when we got on the way down, I started dry heaving. I had never done that before, and I have never done that since. And I think the Harvest Moon, seeing it, I think seeing the Harvest Moon was one of those things that I think we all need to be exposed to something like that once in a while.
You know how to cure that?
And how?
Texas Pete hot sauce, my friend.
BYOG, bring your own ghost.
Oh, okay. You get that one for free.
Yeah.
We got some folklore surrounding the Harvest Moon.
Yeah, we can kind of get back to kind of like we were talking about here. So we basically all, we all believe this to be true, and kind of looking back through some of this research, it all makes sense. The landscape changes that occur in both spring, fall, winter, summer, and all the seasons. The solar system is continually moving. The moon, the sun, those are just a couple to list, but it's also a time to where most of these spiritual people, or what we say is a veil between our world and the spiritual world, is it's a lot thinner, and we're better able to communicate with the paranormal.
Now, I got a question for the both of you. You said something about the veil.
Yeah.
Do you believe it's possible to walk on both sides of the veil?
Not be alive, no. You could have been... I think it's possible if you had a near-death experience where you are... You know what I'm saying? Where you're supposed to be dead and you come back? I can see that. But as for me and you or Gage, no. I can't see us being able to do that.
I have. I have walked on both sides of the veil. Years ago, I nearly got killed at work. Nearly got killed almost. And at that time, I was in a really bad spot. I was questioning life and everything. I went home, and I had a dream. And I still have the dream every so often, where I'll be back where I was, but I'll die in my dream. And then I'll wake up just before I take my last breath. I've been having the same dream on and off for the past 10 years, almost. It'd be 10 this May.
Very interesting.
And I've had the dream at least once or twice, maybe in a 6-month period. I'll see myself back where I was. I will die, or I will be in the process of dying, but before I take my last breath, I wake up. The reason why I ask if it's possible to walk on both sides of the veil is because I think some people can do it. Mediums have that ability.
Maybe to a certain extent, but they can't manipulate or change the stuff on the other side.
See, I don't believe anybody can, but I believe people can walk on both sides of the veil. I call it the ethereal plane because on the ethereal plane, it's possible to pass in between the realms of life and death.
I've heard stories about people that have went someplace and all of a sudden their surroundings have changed. It's totally different to them, but their people are still around them, but they're not seeing them people.
Well, remember when we went to the Colonel Crawford Burn Monument and we had the podcast following that? I believe we talked about in the podcast the dream I had, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost for sure I took a walk on the ethereal plane because I had a dream one night and I ended up back in the cemetery. And one of the shadow figures that we were seeing, I got a pretty good face. A young lady in a white dress with a face that the young lady couldn't have been more than 20, 29, 30 years old.
Could that have been that lady that you and I were seeing at that...
I'm not
at
sure.
At that tree.
I'm not
before.
Sure. I'm not sure about that, but what I am sure about is the fact that when we saw that shadow figure that was right in front of us in the tree line,
uh-huh.
It's the yeah. same one.
That's the same one.
But I couldn't yep. see a face until I saw it in my dream.
Interesting.
Now, is it possible that I took a walk on the ethereal plane in my dream and saw something I saw but didn't see?
What type of clothing do you wish you were wearing? Is it old?
Like a white, like a 1920s style, like camisole, like
yeah.
something that's
yeah.
like a nightgown of sorts, like a white. White nightgown that
and
was
I remember
that
her
had
hair
it was a silk a, it was like a silk fra- it was silk frilled nightgown
and her hair was
yeah
LJ.
Yeah she was staring at me in the dream she was staring at me I got a good look at her face
and see I'm not too sure on this I'm just gonna stay kind of what's the word modest
unsure maybe
unsure yeah I mean I agree with both of your guys's you know,
I'm for certain
so.
That it had to have been that I took a walk on the ethereal plane, and I consulted in somebody who's a Wiccan of all people,
mm-hmm.
and she believes it's possible that that very thing did happen. Because mm-hmm. because walking on the ethereal plane, you see things that you see things in a dream where you were once were.
And you know what? When I have, you know, everybody has. Dreams. I'm pretty sure everybody has a dream every single night. I'm pretty positive on that. We can probably all clear that. But I don't necessarily... I can't distinguish, you know, am I on the ethereal plane? Am I...
Well, let's just put it this way. Everybody here knows I'm an empath. The audience knows I'm an empath. The ones that are devoted followers... everybody knows I'm an empath. People that are empaths are able to, they're able to see things a little and understand things and feel things a little bit better than somebody who isn't as attuned. Something to do with Wiccans. Wiccans are more often than not empaths because empaths are attuned to nature.
I mean, does that kind of like make sense to you for like myself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, it does. But the idea of walking on the ethereal plane, it's not something that you just do for no reason. From what I can understand, walking on the ethereal plane is, it's almost like a life and death experience. Like our main man Corey here said, people who have been exposed to near-death situations find it easier to do than people who haven't been. People who haven't been exposed to almost dying rarely ever get the opportunity to see that. And people who have had near-death experiences or have seen death are more likely to see spirits walking amongst us than people who have not been exposed to a situation of death or almost died or something along those lines. So I don't know. I'm unsure of this whole thing. But, you know, I'm segueing too much. The whole harvest moon is what we're
talking
about.
We can kind of get back on track here, and that kind of, we're going to kind of lead back on into the harvest moon here, I think fairly soon anyway. So
right,
we'll continue talking about it throughout this entire podcast today.
What kind of folklore do we have, like fun stories surrounding a Harvest Moon?
One of them, the moon is what we've been discussing, and we haven't gotten into the lunar portion of it yet, but it's extremely relevant to what the pagans, and they often plan these magical workings around the different lunar cycles.
Like Samhain.
Like Samhain. And it's thought to be connected to wisdom and intuition, right?
Wisdom, intuition, and overall acceptance of the things around you.
And pagans are, or paganism is, non-Christian.
Right. But most people assume paganism as being devil worship. Paganism is not devil worship. Like Wiccan, paganism is a variance of nature. The whole idea behind paganism is not devil worship. In fact, Satan's not even a thing in paganism. Satan doesn't exist. There's no demon god. There's no god that brings about corruption of souls. Because in paganism, you can't corrupt a soul because your soul is eventually ultimately attuned to nature itself. So their gods are benevolent as long as benevolence stays a part of you.
Right.
So I don't know why people associate paganism with devil worship. Because it actually has nothing to do with it. Paganism is one of those things. It's a way for people that are nature-oriented to be able to give back to the nature that they feel is benefiting them.
All right.
Wiccan's the same way. Wiccan's a like a witchcraft variant of paganism.
Right. Right. Wicca is pagan witchcraft. And they're worshiping a goddess and a god.
Right.
Right. And basically we have the moon goddess and the horned god. And there's more than just these two. There's these two specifically, and then there's more. What are they called?
You care if I go into a little bit about the moon goddess and the great horned one?
Yeah, so the cycles of the moon, we have Espots, which is the female deity, and we have the cycles of the sun, which is Sabats, which is the male deity. And for the cycles of the moon, the cycles of the moon, or Espots, they are to honor the goddess or the moon goddess that is to heaven, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I found was that if people are given the point to, you know, go out and gaze up at the moon, or basically a full moon in general, to feel the energy from of the godness all around you, you might actually, while gazing up at the full moon, see a male smiling at you. And that male smiling at you is actually not necessarily a male smiling at you. It's the female deity's energy.
Is she blessing? You to some degree?
I kind of feel that way. I mean, and maybe that goes back to your story that you were talking about.
Well, it's funny.
You know, when
I didn't see a face, but what I did see, and I thought it may have been like the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
It almost looked like the moon had eyes.
It could have very well been, you know.
I don't know why
the female deity.
Well, the clouds came back in.
And like what you were saying earlier, maybe, did you say something about a frown?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen at times the deity, or the moon itself, I've seen what looked like a frown. It didn't look like it was smiling at me. Which, if you choose to believe it, if you don't, mm-hmm. Depending on the facial expression of the moon, it depends, to me, it depends on what you've done. See, certain people could see it smiling at them, other people could see it frown, and it all depends on maybe what you've done during the day. Kind of like the old adage, if you do wrong, wrong gets done to you. If you do right, people won't notice you've done anything at all.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, going on with it, you have the cycles of the sun, the Sabbats, and the male deity, or the horned god.
The great horned one.
Essentially, the great horned one. And the horned god is born in the winter, and he impregnates the goddess and dies during autumn and winter months, and is reborn by the godness at Yule. And you were kind of explaining me.
Yule is basically the winter solstice.
Winter solstice.
The whole thing behind Yule. Yule is actually a pagan word. I don't know what the actual meaning for Yule is, because you can't really define the word. The word has no meaning. The whole premise behind Yuletide is coming together and celebrating family. That's basically what Yule is for. So it kind of makes sense that he would be born again during Yule, because Yule is the time where families come together.
Mm-hmm.
Yuletide, season's greetings, the whole Christmas thing. Christmas is not just a Christian holiday.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, St. Nicholas, who we know as Santa Claus, was a pagan. He was a pagan saint who gave toys to children during the winter months, because he was obeying the wishes of his deity, the Great Horned One. And the funny thing about Santa Claus and St. Nicholas is St. Nicholas is shown as being some like nice guy who is like your quintessential like good guy, when St. Nicholas, before he became a saint, he killed people. It's never been proven, but it's never been disproven. He was actually someone who was not so great.
Know that.
Yeah. The only reason he became a saint was because people wanted to glorify him because he gave toys to children. And really, he ended up orphaning the children themselves.
Oh, I'll have to look into that. That is something interesting that
it's never been proven, but it's never been disproven.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't see him as somebody who's demonic or bad natured. But if you knew St. Nicholas, just like St. Patrick, St. Patrick cast all the snakes out of paradise. Not many people know that the reason why he did this is because of the fact that he was a racist. He didn't like African Americans. Those were the snakes that they were referring to.
And kind of going back into it, the Horned God, they renewed their vows to Satan, or the Sabbats. They basically the cycles of the sun, renewing your vows to Satan.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about the Sabbats is, you know, the Great Horned One. I never understood the correlation between the Great Horned One versus the Earth and the Sun, until I did some research for this whole thing along with you, Me and you both did the research. Yeah. The whole purpose behind the Great Horned One is to bring is his whole purpose is to live, to die, and to live again.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of makes sense because the Earth moves in cycles along with the Moon and the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth purges itself every so often of the impurities that man has brought it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes sense that you know all this lunar cycles, sun cycle stuff has a direct influence on the Earth. Because in all fairness, you have to look at the geometric side of the Moon. The Moon, even though it's smaller in dimension, being exactly placed where it's exactly placed, it's the exact distance to bring about a lunar and a solar eclipse both at once. The funny thing about it is not many people know this, but the Moon didn't show up until about 10,000 years after the world was created. It showed up for some unknown reason. The earliest accounts that can be made when it comes to the Moon having a place is ancient Aztecs. Now keep in mind, the ancient Aztecs were, the ancient Greeks and Romans were on this Earth way earlier than the ancient Aztecs were. The first known recording of the Moon being what it is in the ancient Aztec calendar in a lunar cycle. And the lunar cycle was done as a way of trying to bring about the harvest. Now, the ancient Aztecs, as a way of trying to make their sun, their moon god show up versus their sun god, they would sacrifice people.
Mm-hmm.
But not many people know that the lunar cycle had a direct influence on the sun cycle as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because on a specific day, back thousands and thousands of years ago, the ancient Aztecs were beheading their own people and bathing their city in blood to try to bring about the harvest. That particular time, a solar eclipse happened where the Moon blotted out the sun. The very next day, their crops started growing again. Their river started flowing once more.
Mm-hmm.
So you could honestly say that the sun and the moon have a direct influence on the Earth, and that you can't have the sun without the moon.
So that kind of leads me into question like a lot, and it leads me to point about, does the lunar cycle influence paranormal activity?
It kind of almost has to. And the reason why it almost has to is because the sun itself, or the sun and moon specifically, but the moon itself has a lot of paranormal power behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it influences the roll of tides.
Yeah.
It increases the opportunity to open up a veil of some sort.
Yeah, kind of going on with that, cool fact is that the Earth, when the Earth faces the Moon, a larger gravity pull will essentially cause a high tide 2 times a day and a low tide about 6 or so hours later, or needless to say, or whenever that gravitational pull happens again, to where, you know, the water will rush back in. But yeah, the moon is a stabilizing factor in to the Earth.
So, Corey, what's your thoughts on this? We haven't heard anything from you. What do you got to say about all this?
I have a fascination with it. I did find a little bit about them. What a little bit of, they practice do spells.
spells is one of those things that I don't quite understand the significance of those, because to me, spells, in order to perform a spell, you have to have some sort of special, almost like a brew of some sort. In order to perform a spell, certain spells require certain things that you can't get in real life.
I don't know. I got a list of a whole bunch of different ones over here you can do. Love spells, prosperity spells, protection spells, spells.
The whole idea behind the spells is, to me, honestly, I think there's some truth in them, but I think mainly the idea behind the spell is to do something that will ultimately have a positive influence on you.
Well, there's black magic and white magic as well.
Black magic is something I do believe is real. I don't believe in spells, per se, but I do believe in black magic. And the reason why is because I know somebody, I've been friends with them for years, that practices black magic. Some of the stuff I've heard and seen them do makes me, I don't even have to question it, I believe it's real. The whole idea behind black magic is there's a level of negative connotation with it. A lot of black magic has to do with influencing people's behaviors.
Well, there's one about magic oil recipes and magic potions too.
Right, but the whole thing behind black magic is that black magic is performed to influence someone's behavior.
That'd be more like voodoo, wouldn't it?
Voodoo is a version of black magic. Black magic is, voodoo is probably the most prevalent, but there are other versions of black magic that you probably don't know about. There's not very many I know about, because it's not something I practice. Mm-hmm. But voodoo is one of those things. You guys have you ever heard of Marie Laveau?
No.
She is
the voodoo queen of New Orleans.
Correct.
Marie Laveau was very vocal about practicing black magic. In fact, she supposedly influenced the mayor and the governor of New Orleans to make a decision that was not so great. It actually got some people killed, the way I hear it. But Marie Laveau was a bad woman. The story behind Marie Laveau, and it's there are many different stories about her. Nobody knows which one's true. Supposedly she was born in Haiti, but then other stories say she was born in Jamaica. Some stories say that she was molested as a child. Other stories say that she was a prostitute. But the one thing that is for sure is that she ran a voodoo-based criminal empire, a Haitian gang. She ran the Haitian gangs in New Orleans for well over 30 years. When they finally caught her, what they caught was a person claiming to be Marie Laveau. But when they did the DNA testing and all that, to see who it really was, it wasn't Marie Laveau. Instead, it was one of her followers. They never caught Marie Laveau. Supposedly, she died back in the 1950s. Nobody knows for sure.
Nope, she died June 18th, 1881.
That's,
she was born September 10th, 1801.
But according to, that's the official. That's the official. But there are many different versions that Marie Laveau was, because of the fact that she was a voodoo queen, she's well over 300 years old.
Well, she had a daughter that was born in 1827 and died in 1862. Also practiced it too, as well as Native American and African spiritualism.
Right. But the part of the lore surrounding Marie Laveau and the whole voodoo thing.
That's Marie Laveau.
Is supposedly
oh, wow.
supposedly the voodoo queen was able to save people from dying. She could bring people that were dead back to life.
She was an occultist, a voodoo priestess, and a midwife nurse.
Yep. But the rumors going around about Marie LeBeau is that the person who claimed to be Marie LeBeau was not Marie LeBeau. They found out years later that that was not Marie LeBeau. And that Marie LeBeau may never have been a real person. Marie LeBeau may have been may have been somebody claiming to be someone else. Basically, the very idea behind voodoo itself. Maybe she was in the embodiment of voodoo. Because apparently, with the rumors that have been made about the accusations that have been made to claim, apparently Marie LeBeau has made 9 different incarnations between 1880 and now. Supposedly, there's been 9 different Marie LeBeaus that have been alive at one point. So nobody knows who Marie LeBeau really is. The person claiming to be Marie LeBeau that died, the one that Corey just said, that was not Marie LeBeau because there's been 9 different Marie LeBeaus.
Listen to this. Said on June 17th, 1881, it was announced the Daily Picayune that Marie LeBeau had died peacefully in her home. However, oral tradition states that she was seen by some people in town after her supposed demise. One of her daughters, also named Marie, French Catholic tradition to have the first name of daughters be Marie and boys be Joseph. Then each used middle name as a common name. Possibly assumed her position with her name and carried on the magical practice, taking over as a queen before or after the first Marie's death. So what that's saying is, basically, when Marie LeBeau died, her daughter took over her name. And then when she died, her daughter would have taken over the name. So henceforth, that's why everybody's saying Marie LeBeau lived as long, because that's why.
Right, but the whole idea behind Marie LeBeau as a person, the whole lore behind her is that because she's the embodiment of voodoo, you can't kill her.
Mm-hmm.
She's the voodoo queen of New Orleans. She'll always be that way. I went to New Orleans 5 or 6 years ago, and I went into a shop there on the French Quarter. They had a portrait of Marie LeBeau hanging on the wall. I was admiring the portrait because I know who Marie LeBeau is. I've been interested in her.
Did it look like that photo?
Yeah, it did. It looked exactly like that. But I've been intrigued by Marie LeBeau for years, for a long time. And the person who was behind the counter comes over to me and says, "Do you know who that is?" I'm like, "It's Marie LeBeau, the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans." He's like, "Do you know there's 9 different versions of Marie LeBeau?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've heard that."
Did you know in 1982 the New Jersey punk rock group The Misfits were arrested and accused of attempting to exhume LeBeau from her grave after a local concert?
Yeah. Marie LeBeau is, when it comes to, this is a perfect time to talk about her, because Marie LeBeau was very vocal about lunar cycles. She believed in the idea of being able to dictate somebody's future by the lunar cycle that they were dealing with at the time, like that was being seen at the time when they crossed her path. Lunar cycles were real big to Marie LeBeau. Supposedly, she could tell how someone was going to die when they were going to die by seeing the lunar cycle that was there when she was talking to them.
I got a little thing real crazy about, even after death, that people still believe Marie LeBeau can do stuff for them. It says, tourists continue to visit, and some draw X marks in accordance with a decades-old tradition that if people wanted LeBeau to grant them a wish, they had to draw an X on the tomb, turn around 3 times, knock on a tomb, yell out their wish, and if it was granted, come back, circle their X, and leave LeBeau an offering.
Was it, is her grave at Lafayette?
The tomb is in St. Louis Cemetery, number 1.
Okay. See, I was at Lafayette. I went to Lafayette, and ironically, they had a Marie LeBeau at Lafayette. And people were doing the same ritual that you just described. They were doing that while I was there. So I think Marie Laveau is just one of those things that's a New Orleans tradition. Kind of like Pass and Stowe in Pennsylvania.
You can't go there no more. As of March 1st, 2015, there's no longer public access to St. Louis Cemetery number one no more.
Well, the reason why is because back in 2015, you know what happened back then?
It was vandalized. So we put a pink...
It wasn't just vandalized.
They painted a pink X on the grave.
That's not at all what happened. That is what happened, but something more serious happened at the cemetery. Somebody was killed on a grave.
It says entry with a tour guide is required because of continued vandalism and destruction of tombs.
They left out the idea that somebody was killed on a grave.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Here's her grave. There's her tombstone.
That thing's huge.
Yeah, you know why they put them above ground, right? Because in New Orleans they put the mausoleums above ground because of the fact that the ground is so unstable. It gets so watered down with where they're at. They have to put them above ground or else everything gets really bad.
A lot of it has to do with all of the past. Hurricanes, flooding, all that out, because New Orleans is actually below sea level. So for them to, that's why all of their tombstones and stuff is built above ground for that reason. That's why you see actual sea. If you watch some of them old shows, you'll see the casket in a box, and there'll be like legs under, wooden legs above it, and they're sitting like that high up. It's for that reason.
Well, it's funny.
They don't bury them in the ground.
A buddy of mine went to New Orleans last year. They actually gave them the opportunity at Lafayette to walk inside of an unused mausoleum. And he did that. He was in there for no more than 5 minutes. Went out, threw up, passed out. When he came to, he said he had seen the worst thing he had ever seen. I asked him what he meant by that. He said, "I can't tell you." So I'm like, "Why?" Because he said it. But he said it because I. He said because if I tell you, it'll probably end up killing me.
Wow.
Yeah. He's to this day. He's never talked about it. Apparently, with what I can understand, he encountered something inside the mausoleum that messed with his head. Because he's never been the same since. That was last year. He's been dealing with this for over a year, and he's got. A very acute form of PTSD. He doesn't sleep at night anymore. He sleeps during the day, but he doesn't sleep at night. He actually took a night shift job so that he wouldn't have to sleep at night. I think what he saw gave him nightmares to the point where it wasn't nightmares. What he was seeing was what he was seeing. And it has to do with the lunar cycles. He said whenever there's a full moon, he sees really bad stuff.
Lives
through really bad stuff.
Wow.
And it's funny because he was in the mausoleum during a full moon.
Well, kind of going with like what we were talking about with Maria Laveau here. And
it was last year during Halloween.
And then with what you're talking about here, it kind of makes the claim that, you know, paranormal activity is at its highest during a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, kind of like a question that popped into my head while we were like talking about this is, what does the moon do, and does it influence the paranormal activity? Like, what do you feel personally? Like,
I personally
feel a bit strange when I know that there's a full moon, or when I'm out there.
So is the question you're asking is do I believe that paranormal activity can be influenced through a full moon or lunar cycle in any form?
Yeah, yeah, or, like, how do you personally feel, you, like, when...
Me,
like,
me personally, like, I'd almost have to... I would almost have to look at it from the, from this sense.
Like I just said, like, I personally feel, like, when I go out there and, like, there's a full moon, like, I feel, honestly, a bit strange. Like, it's not just, like, the thought of, hey, like, you know, there's a full moon out there, like, oh, you know.
Funny story. We have crystals, quartz, and other stuff that we charge in the moonlight because the moonlight can purify and energize. Do you know that when we were at Colonel Crawford's burn monument, there was a half moon out and it was visible?
Yes, I think I actually pointed that out too. Actually, I thought that was a full moon.
No, it was a three-quarter moon. And guess what? It was waning on the bottom end. Mm. Do you know what that means?
No.
What we saw at the Colonel Crawford burn monument is something we saw on a very, very, very auspicious day, night. It was a very, very good thing. We saw some stuff that we probably would never have seen if the moon hadn't been the way it was.
I can almost say that if we went back, we wouldn't catch half the stuff that we caught.
No, and I think it had to do with certain cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it this way. What I saw at Colonel Crawford's burn monument, the cemetery, what I saw would have scared anybody. I'm not afraid of what I'm seeing because of the fact that I'm there going with an open mind, trying to understand what I'm seeing. And that's the thing. We saw a bunch of stuff that night. But the strangest thing I saw was the shadow figure that me and Gage were trying to scope. It was moving in the tree line faster than we can blink.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of anything that can move that fast. How do you explain that, Gage? That was during the day.
That was during the day. I don't have any explanation or other than just, you know, say with what we saw, but I mean,
that thing was,
I just don't know. I just don't know.
It goes. I'm gonna segue.
I'm just sitting here thinking about it.
I'm gonna go back to what we talked about walking on both sides of the veil. We had somebody in our group that was. They had the spirit box running. We had walkie-talkies. All of us did. I was talking on a walkie-talkie, trying to get an idea of where you guys were. Corey, you can verify this for me. The individual talked on the walkie-talkie and it came through on the spirit box. Her voice verbatim, right?
Yeah.
How do we know something didn't cross the veil? Save our behinds.
That's a good... Yeah, you know what? I don't know.
That's something I've been questioning ever since it happened. Because to me, that would be the perfect opportunity. Just like case in point, when I saw the harvest moon last night. Saw the harvest moon, went into a trance for 20 minutes, give or take. Got done because the clouds the moon went behind the cover of clouds. Thought to myself, okay, I'm going back upstairs. I said to myself, I'm going to go back upstairs. Went upstairs, that's when I saw the shadow figure. How do I know, how don't we all know that whatever was there came through during the full moon?
That's actually a question that just popped into my head. And do you guys, and did you kind of feel like a pull, or like an energy pull yet when there's like a full moon out.
For some reason, if I look at a full moon, I have trouble turning my eyes. I gotta stare at the full moon for some reason. And when I look at it, it seems to get bigger. Almost like it's coming at me.
See, so what we're kind of getting at here is that there's no... We can't explain that there's a if there's a true connection in between the lunar cycle and the paranormal, right?
I feel a little different. Like, the energy's a little different on that day.
Look at it this way. How I feel right now versus how I felt last night, completely different.
But we all know, obviously, that it's connected in some way.
Look at it this
especially way. Especially after what we've been talking about.
Look at it this way. This past week, with the lunar cycle being as weird as it has been,
mm-hmm.
I've had trouble sleeping. I've been having, been seeing weird stuff in the night. I've been having things just in a general way being out of place. I've had strange dreams. I'm sure you guys can attest to the strange dreams part. Corey?
Yeah, I've had a couple.
I've attested to that many times. Or, you know,
I've had,
we were talking about it earlier.
Like, this week has been a rough week. For the lunar cycle has almost everything to do with it. I believe that the lunar cycle, especially a full moon, full moon, there's no way that you won't have something paranormal, at least to some degree, come out in a full moon. Look at it this way. The last thing I want to talk about, do you know what a ghost ballet is?
After hearing about it, I can kind of got a general idea of what it is. Can you explain it?
Ghost ballet is a situation, it could be anywhere, you encounter three or more spirits, you see them, you know that they're there in the forms of shadows or whatever, they move alongside you. The reason why they call it a ghost ballet is because of the fact that ballet does not necessarily mean dance. It means commingling in some ways. A ballet is basically, it's synchronized motion. It doesn't have to be synchronized, but it's motion. A ghost ballet most commonly occurs during a lunar cycle that's close to being full. Anything above half or above. What we encountered at the Burn Monument, that was a ghost ballet. What we encountered at, Collingwood. I wouldn't necessarily call that a ghost ballet, but there were elements of it.
Yeah. Yep.
But what me and Corey encountered during the day, that was a ghost ballet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we encountered a ghost ballet. At the cemetery, but the Collingwood could be one too, but it doesn't always have to be at a full moon. Anything above half, anything to the point where it's not a fingernail or something that's waning or waxing, something that's there.
I mean, we've done things during the day, so I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to, you know, the moon is continually out. So.
Have you ever thought of the moon being something similar to Icarus, or not Icarus, the Phoenix? When the moon finishes its cycle, a new moon comes in its place, almost like it's dying and being brought back to life. Like the cycles of human life, and life all around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the whole idea behind a ghost ballet, I find it intriguing because we often encounter them without knowing what they are. You've encountered one. You know, you probably went to a cemetery mourning a relative,
mm-hmm.
and saw a ghost ballet and didn't even know that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the wind moves in a cemetery, whenever the wind starts blowing, you know they're there. That's how you know a ghost ballet is being played. When the like what we encountered at the cemetery at the Crawford Burn Monument. Remember how the wind started blowing as it got later on in the night?
It happened during the day and that branch fell on.
It happened and it just occurred, I would say.
It was randomly, it came out of nowhere.
I would just call it out of the blue. Yeah.
Well, how did we, that's usually when they show up. When the wind starts blowing in a place where there is no wind, that's your first sign that something's there. It's how the ways of our life reward us for being there at the time that it happens. Cycles of the earth, paganism. The thing I've come to understand about Wiccans and the Wiccan and paganism thing is that when you see nature respond in a way like that, nature is giving a reward for being in the right place at the right time, vis-a-vis ghost ballet. More often than not, when you will see spirits in a place like a cemetery, when they show up, more often than not, it's when the wind starts blowing, when you start seeing stuff moving in the tree line, like we did at Crawford's.
Both times, day and night.
Yeah. Well, I think we've talked enough about the lunar cycle. This is going to be a dual-parter episode. The first episode we did tonight was a part of the Friday the 13th full harvest moon. We're gonna play out the second part next time, and what better time would be October 31st, Halloween. We have a really fun episode planned. We're not gonna go into any detail, but we will say that it's gonna be around folklore of Halloween, and we're gonna go into a little in depth a little bit about Friday the 13th and its origins. I know it's gonna be way after the fact, but what better day to do it than Halloween? So, for Joe here.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Gage.
May the full moon bless you. Thank you.